We are busy with a sermon series. We're spending some time thinking through this process. Who are we? And we started with this whole thing that we are a church on a mission. You remember that? And the word we used is we are called to be apostolic. Apostle means mission. Missio, it's the word in Latin. So to be apostolic means to be on a mission. We said we're really on a mission. And it's something you find in our church. It happens with a lot of work, but it almost happens naturally. I mean, a few engineers, they come up here 6 years ago and we've got a church. Okay, something happened. That's just how God works. We're on a mission, so we believe the same with Yaku. As he goes to Middelburg, he carries something from our midst, and it's just in our water, it's in our coffee, it's in our diet. We are missional. We are on a mission. Does that make sense? So we're never happy with having one small group and having such great spiritual times together. We're always thinking, how can we grow bigger so that we can be two small groups, so that more people can get encountered by the love of Christ. That's where we started. And Bates, what was the title of your sermon, Bates? Authority and Submission. What he spoke about is that we believe that God appoints leaders and that we actually walk with our leaders in a specific direction under the guidance of God, and it's such a blessing. All right? And I started with this thing, part one, covenant relationships, and I explained what it is to walk together and be one as God is one. But basically what the premise of the last sermon was is it's important for us to be one so that God may be seen. This sermon we're moving towards, so how does it look like? What is a covenant relationship and how it looked like? So we also had the example of David and Jonathan. They were the two, they were probably the best buddies in the Bible, if we have to think about Bible stories, okay? And so they were in covenant with one another. And what we know about covenant is that a covenant has got a few things. Firstly, what they would do, they would cut one another on the wrist, and they would put their wrists together. They would mix the blood. Not very safe in South Africa. Amen. Okay. That's what they would do. They would mix the blood. And so what it would mean is that your blood, your life is important to me, and my life is important to you. All right. Then what they would do is it would make a mark, this cut. And so they would take ash and they would rub the ash in the scar, and it would make a big scar that would be very prominent, easy to see. And so let's say you go into Inferno's, into a pub somewhere, to have a bit of a jewel, and the guys are looking at you, you know there's trouble coming, okay? Then you just lift up your shirt, all right, or your sleeve, and there would be this massive mark, and they would say, oh, hands off. This guy is actually not alone, because this resembles a relationship of another person that says, if you touch this person, you're touching me. Covenant relationship, are you with me? What would also happen is Jonathan, and this is extremely, extremely huge. Jonathan would take his clothes and give it to David. Now, the clothes that Jonathan was wearing was extremely expensive. There's no way David could even purchase one piece of the clothing that David was wearing, that Jonathan was wearing, because it was kingly clothes. It comes from the palace. And so Jonathan gave his clothes to David, and David gave his clothes to Jonathan. And when they walked out, David looked like Jonathan, and Jonathan looked like David. Covenant relationships. And so today, the biggest sign we have of covenant relationship is marriage. Covenant relationships also is always between three parties. Two humans and Jesus. So that's why marriage is not to be taken lightly. That's why marriage is so huge, because you actually come into relationship with Christ and another person. And that's just amazing, because if we're just in a relationship, we treat each other like trash. But now the problem here is, or the amazing thing is, in my marriage, Christ is in there. It's almost like I speak to my wife through Jesus, and she speaks to me through Him. And we make mistakes and we mess up, but because we know Him and we worship, He always reminds us, hey, I'm in this relationship. Go fix that. Okay? Covenant relationships, amazing. And so there's the blood in marriage. When a husband and a wife becomes intimate for the first time, very special. it signifies that blood, my life flows in your veins and the other way around. Okay. But now when we talk about friendships, I want to play with the term covenant and I want to shine it on friendships. I'm not saying go and cut one another after the service. Don't do that. Okay. That's not smart. You can use the word in your notebook if you want godly relationships. Christ-centered relationship. That's good. All we're saying is covenant relationship is God's standard. How close can we get to that? How close can we get to be in a relationship in such a way where my heart actually beats with another person? Okay, that's background. Are you with me? Just tik iemand langs jou en sê jy jou tande geborsel. Ons gaan nou koffie drink. And so this is what we're saying tonight. I see covenant relationship in our church already. That's how this church got planted, believe it or not. People stuck together. It was hard. It was blood, sweat, and tears and prayers. But you know what? Here's a church. There's people to thank for that. So I see it here. But how can we keep it in our, almost in our family? It's like my dad used to say, "You bears do not dit." Nou my pa, hulle mag tot 8 uur die aand uitbly, maar hulle is jou bearsie. Die bears kom 6 uur in, klaar gepraat. Now we're saying this is for us so important. This is who we are. But even if you've got a very good value in a family, there's an effort and prayer and correction and discipline that keeps that value alive. Isn't that true? Okay, same with marriage. You have to work at it the whole time. And so we are working through this right now. And what I want you to do is to take your heart and your friendships and put it tonight before God and say, "Lord, how can I do better? How can I grow?" Amen? Let me just pray. Father, as we talk through this tonight, I just submit it at your feet. I just submit tonight's message at your feet and I give every heart to you. Thank you for every person that's here tonight. You know them. You know what they need right now, and I pray that you will give freely, Lord, as is needed tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome. All right. Christ is praying. He's on his knees, speaking to God the Father, and we lifting off at John 17, verse 11. And Jesus prays, "I am no longer in the world." Can we get that scripture? Awesome. "And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me." And then this very important part for tonight, Jesus prays, he says, "that they may be one as we are one." Let them be just like us. That's what Jesus is praying. Now, we're going to fast forward exactly 10 verses. And see how Jesus actually repeats the same thing. He says, "that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Okay, now in the middle of these two verses, you find that piece in the Bible where Christ, he prays, he says, "Father, the disciples, you guys, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. This is a difficult place for us to worship God openly because there's a tension, right?" And Jesus says, "but I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you protect them from the evil one." This is the thoughts that's going through Jesus' heart. "Lord, I know my disciples, they will await difficult times, but I pray that you will keep them." And he knows this. He knows that we are sent to love people at work that at this moment maybe don't love you back or have any sentiment towards Christ. Christ wants us to be kind to people that don't even want our kindness. All right? He wants us to be generous towards people who won't give anything to us. All right? And he knows it's very difficult. And he sums it up. He says, "that's the world. And we are in that place." And then he works and he says, "but I pray that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world," we just spoke about, may believe that you have sent me. This is so important. Jesus is saying the way we do relationship when we go out here, whether you are a teacher, whether you work at Sasol, whether you relate with people at a sports club, the way we have relationship will show to people that Jesus is alive. Because we are one. That is huge. And we're talking here about a relationship that is real. Now, one of the ways the Father will lead people to Jesus is through us. That's what we're saying here tonight. We're going to work through it just now. What does this relationship look like? Now, I think we're actually very good at this, but let's talk through it again. That, what does the Bible say about a lamp? It must be placed on a thing so that it can make light. And a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So what Christ is actually saying here, this is something the world must see. Unbelievers, people that don't love Jesus at this moment, it's important that they see how you do relationship. That means we need to be intentional about how we live. We need to live on a public platform. And there's been times in the past where it was believed, and still with some of the Roman Catholic circles, when you meet God, what do? You extract yourself out of the world because the world is dirty. So what do? You don't marry, you wear a sock, okay, and you vas flora, where no one knows you. That is not what Christ is saying here. He's saying they must see you. What they see will lead them to the Father. And so there's practical implications for us here. If we only braai with one another, we're sinning. Because no one can see. We always do it together. I mean, we already love the Lord and we're already in relationship. Where will they see? If we only go weekends away with the same people that's believers, we are missing this. You guys know that. It's just important that we speak. Make sense? Amal? Yes, there's still a new plague. Amal moeg lang naweek. Okay. Okay. Don't lose me here. Now, how does this relationship look like? What is this is relationship? Let me tell you what, that is out of this world. The world has not seen this before. This is and also if you've come to Christ recently or you're discovering Him more and more every day, this will be very new to you. But when you give your heart to God, the Bible says you're a new creation. So you should now learn what it means to be a disciple. Amen? And this is part of it. Let's get going. Some of this I've said before. I'm going to repeat it and I will repeat it in the future again. Let's start by just giving you guys something to look at so that we can get you thinking, Theo, kom staan by my. Kom na papa. Yeah, something to look at. He's not single. Bates, will you also join, please? Okay, so typically, before we know Christ, before I'm led by the Holy Spirit to love God, I'm a human being, and basically, I've got needs for validation, okay? We all need friends. And so, can you just put your hands on one another's shoulder? So if this just is a picture of a relationship, the two guys have, we're buddies, we're in high school, And there's no Jesus in here. Let's just pretend for a moment they don't know Christ. I'll tell you now, one of the basic needs for both of them is, I want to be validated as a human being. And so I come next to you as a friend. And from this friendship, there's many things maybe that's great about you as a person. But one of the main things is when we spend time together and I go home, I want to feel like I am a person. I want to feel like you validate me. And that's not bad to start off with. I want to feel good about us. I want to feel good about myself. All right? I need to have my identity built in this friendship. Now, that's a need actually from God. A need to be loved is placed in your heart by God. It's part of the God whole. I believe that with all my heart. But now the problem here is that this relationship is based mainly on you giving me feedback I want to hear. Okay? This does not only happen with women, but it's very prevalent there with guys as well. But as soon as she tells her that Just for a moment, look a bit more beautiful. Okay. Just for a moment, is this two girls? If this is the basis of the relationship, okay? And Theo speaks to Bates about the fact that when he speaks to people, he speaks harshly and he does not really appreciate the way Bates speaks to people. What probably will happen is this. That she will go her way and it's done. And his story is let it door fall. Okay. Are you with me? Come back. Just do that again for me. Now, this relationship is very fickle. When it comes to being honest, when it comes to building one another, because you see, not one of them is in this relationship to grow as a person. They're in this relationship to be validated and to feel good about themselves. Now, Hendrik, Jesus vanavond, kom vir ons. Now, the first point I want to make tonight is that, just stand behind them for a moment. Please join again. Okay. First point I want to make is covenant relationships is cross-centered. Can we go to the next slide? Covenant relationships is cross-centered. Now, what this means is if this person meets with Jesus in his life, suddenly what happens is he realizes that Christ loves him without an end. He realizes that there's a calling on his life. And now his friends meet Christ as well. And both of them now get validation from Jesus. Lord, you fill me because your cup never runs dry. What did we sing? Something like that. It's amazing. Worship was amazing. Amen. So now this relationship changed. They say, let's take a step away from one another. Let's create this. Now, in the beginning, yes, like you're like grateful. Now he's saying, let's take a step away and let's make space and let's put Christ in the middle. Okay? Everything has changed from this relationship. Okay? Let me explain to you how it's different. So Christ say, look to Theo. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love you. And he does the same with Bates. I'm validated. So what becomes the priority in this man's life? I want to honor my King and my Savior with my life. My main objective is no longer to get validation from my friend. I got it from Christ. What I need from him now is something different. What is that? Help me to be more like my King. That's now the main objective of this friendship. In the past, it was different. It's no longer my main priority, Bates, to feel loved from you when I go home. What I want from you is to help me love my King more. So suddenly there's a platform that they have to speak what into one another's lives? Truth. You may speak with me. You may be honest with me because there's one thing, there's many things I can fail, but there's one thing I don't want to do, and that's miss what my King has for me on my heart. Amen? You guys can sit down. And I want you just to remember that for a moment. When two believers step into a relationship like that, there's something I realize about my own life. What I realize is from where I am standing, from where I find myself, it is difficult for me to see from a distance exactly how my life looks and how I change direction because I'm too in it. I'm too emotionally involved. Can I give you just one or two examples? When you, I'm not speaking to someone here, this is just the truth. When you fall in love with someone, okay, do you know that you can't think straight? Did you know that? Why? Because you are so involved. Emotional decisions, it's very difficult to get it right. So what do you need? You need someone that loves you very much, that is unemotional about the situation, to come to you and be honest with you. Theo, I know your heart is so in love at this moment, but let me tell you what, this is not good for you. I don't know if you ever had that conversation with someone, but now you've got a wonderful wife. Maybe you had friends like that. People that can see from a distance that's not emotionally detached. What else gets your emotions? When Bates comes to me and he asks me financial advice, from a distance, it is so easy for me to give him wisdom from God, because I'm not going to get what he wants to buy. You see, I'm not going to get that house. It's not going to be my house. It's not going to be my whatever he wants to buy. So it's very easy for me. Let's talk through this. Let's talk through where you are at the moment. And I don't think it's a good idea. I'm not emotionally. But when I want to buy something, I am emotionally connected already to that thing. Am I speaking the truth? And so you've got two options. The one is you quickly buy that thing before anyone says something, okay, and get yourself into financial trouble. Or you speak to your friend that's standing on that side. Can you just help me with this? That's a covenant friend. There is not many things in this world that is more valuable than that. And it's because of covenant friendships that this church got planted. Amen? This morning, I get actually a bit emotional when I talk about these things, because there's been people in my life that changed me to such an extent that I'm here and that I can be married to Junaid today and be a husband. And so this is very close to my heart. And I know some of you are nodding, you know what I'm talking about. And some of you made mistakes. Listen, that's why we're doing what we're doing. Come to God and say, Lord, I'm realigning myself. Please help me. Amen? One other thing about this that makes the biggest difference than when we're connected, when there's a distance apart from us. I'm not asking myself, what can I say to please Rian if I'm in a relationship with him like that? I know you guys are good friends as well. The question shifts, not what can I say to please Peter or other way around. What is the question? What should my friendship mean to Peter at the moment, Christ, from your perspective? Jesus, I want to communicate to my friend in a way that is pleasing to you. If that means there's something difficult I need to share with my friend right now, but it's going to save his marriage, I must do it. Because the guys at the pub, they're not going to do it. They're just going to cheers and drink a shooter. Okay? Someone needs to step up and be a friend. And it's interesting. When the difficult decisions are being made and you don't have friends like this, you're alone. And it's so hard to receive that kind of information from someone that you haven't been walking a road with. So start walking a road with someone while it's going good with you. So that when the difficult decisions come, there's someone. They say the armies that do great at war is the armies that train the hardest when it's peace. Alright? So it's time for you to step into a relationship with someone, say, speak into my life and be honest. Amen. Make sense? Awesome. Covenant relationships are cross-centered. You know I've been loving this next verse for the last while. It's been on the screen a lot. It's going to continue coming over. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Many people will offer you compliments. Many people will smile and tap you on the shoulder. There's not many people that will be honest with you. Ask yourself, who is the one that's loving me? And that's actually being the kindest to my future. And invite them. Amen, guys. Are you with me? Marketsin, skittekoop, waaie handseks in jou varies. Great. Awesome. I want to say this. The silence of a friend may hurt you. Okay? The silence of a friend may hurt you. And so we talk about this term. Remember the term watchman, guys? We spoke of it through Intercession Month. We said, as a church, when we're praying on Mondays, we are what we call watchmen over the church. We watch in prayer. We pray through stuff we see in church. We pray through stuff, attacks from the enemy that has not even yet arrived. And we stand in the gap for the church. Now, a good friend, you can ask him to be a watchman over your life. But then you must be ready when he speaks with you. Right? Then you must be ready to receive from him. Awesome. Covenant relationship is cross-centered. Just remember that picture, cross in the middle. Number two, covenant relationships see with prophetic eyes. I love this. Sees with prophetic eyes. Let me just explain that. I'm not being weird. It will make perfectly sense just now. When I talk about prophetic, this is what I mean. Let's go to the next slide. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their, that's important for me for now, upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Okay? So, prophecy is to build someone up. Can I ask you a question? But I need an answer, not a silent crowd. Do I need prophecy? I need prophecy. Why do I need prophecy? To be built up. Why do I need to be built up? Because I'm a broken man. That's the truth. I'm a broken man, and I need to be built up. We are all broken vessels. Glorious words and miracles from God flow through us, but we are still broken. We all need building up. And what I'm moving towards is covenant friends, they look prophetically at one another. I want to build you. Now this is so easily, very easily, becomes competition. It's too close. It becomes competition. What shoes is she wearing? I must get the same. That's a caradella. It's just so flock. Until we take a step apart. We actually make space from one another and he comes in the middle. I want to look prophetically at you. Where can I build into your life? So this is a testimony from a girl in Bible school, not a shofar Bible school, from another church. And this just blew me away. And so what this girl does is she writes down words or prophecies that is spoken over other people. She records it all, but for herself. And she says, I love doing that. And so the people ask, why do you write all the prophecies down that is spoken over other people? And this is what she answered. It's on the screen. I just think this is amazing. And this is what she answered. She said, so that I can treat them not as they are, but as God sees them, and then invite them into their destiny. Looking prophetically at someone. Isn't that amazing? I want to share something personally with you guys. When I got off the bus for my first year camp, that's 12 years ago, 13 years ago almost. As I got off the bus, one of the pastors in Shofar was standing next to another guy and he said, that guy, he's going to be the prim of Ace Marais. Okay? The first time he saw me. The prim is like the head boy of the hostel. So he said, we must get into relationship with him because he's going to be prim. And if God can be in charge, they can change that place. Someone saw prophetically me. At that time, I'm still broken, but I was broken and ugly that time. I was not worth a lot, but someone saw worth and acted on it. What if you have friends like that? What if you can be a friend like that? What if no one saw prophetically into my life? Where would I be today? God is faithful, I'm sure there would have been another pastor here, but where would I be? Where would Janae be? Where would Caleb be if no one saw into my life and started building in? All of you are here because someone saw something in you. Did you know that? To look with prophetic eyes and see what is not yet fully formed, but what can be. Can you see now why it's important that Christ is in the middle? Can you see now why it's important that maybe I really love you? If I tell you something you don't want to hear, but it's going to protect your future? Can you understand how these two fit in? It's because I see who you are. And this decision you are about to make is going to take you. It's probably going to hurt your future. You may never recover from it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't speak like that to your wife, because you know what, buddy, I love you. But if you carry on for years and years, the heart is going to get hard. It's going to be so difficult for you, for your life, for your wife to be in love with you. I don't want to hear someone say that to me. I'll be honest. I'll be so ashamed to hear that. But what if that is the kindest thing your friend can do at that moment? Seeing prophetically into your life and speaking with you. God looks like that at you. Did you know that? Because you're a mess. Because I already told you I'm a mess. And then what does He say? He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. I'm going to make you a tree that's going to give shade. Lord, I guess a doringtak. No, you're going to bless people. You're going to change this place. No, you've got the wrong name, Lord. I see it in you because I look prophetically into your life. Make sense? This is God. Well, this is Paul writing, quoting God. God is speaking to Abraham. He says, you know, God called Abraham his friend. We're talking about friendship, so that's just cool for me. And this is God speaking. He says, I have made you a father of many nations. Excuse? At that time, he's old. He's physically a broken man. Stuff doesn't work anymore. His wife as well. It's not just for making babies. The parts are out of date. Okay? And so God comes along and he says, you're a father. He says, no, wrong tent. Not me. He says, you're a father. Because you see, God is the best friend. He's showing us something. And Abraham becomes a father. Isn't that amazing? What did God do? He called something into being that was not yet true in that person's life. And he spoke it into life. You will do well. Trust in God. Just have faith. Covenant relationships looks prophetically. Isn't that awesome? Who wants to be in friendships like that? That's amazing. It's hard to get started with this, I'll be honest with you. It's hard to get started when maybe your finances is a mess. And your friends say, "Gaan kry daai bank staat. Let's go. Let's go. Let's sort this out." One day you want to send your kids to university. You can't live in the excess every month. Yeah, but everyone drives that car. Everyone has this. Yeah, but you can't have that. Because there's a vision. No, maybe you moet die DStv afsit. Yes, you mal. Maybe that's your best friend. That's your friend of the month, maybe. God, I'm looking at this stuff and you guys are not making it. I'm looking prophetically into your life and I want your family to do well. I want you to have a future for your kids. Things are not working out. That is so difficult to have that conversation. So difficult. But how deep is that friendship exactly? You won't find it somewhere just here and there. That's something off the wall. Covenant friendship. That's why I'm saying, that's why Jesus said, he said, this kind of relationship will shock the world. It will shock them. They will not know what's going on. They will come to a bride with a bunch of you guys that love one another in a relationship like this, and they will go home in their car like this. What did I just witness? I've seen men speaking with respect to a woman, but these are guys. And they are respecting one another as they talk. I've picked up, they care for one another. What is going on? God is going on. Where do you guys have church? That's how it works. The way we have relationships will change this town. It's one way. Many people are here in our church. The moment they shut down, we must remember to pray for the guys that's working. at the end. Many people are here because someone phoned them and said, you will not. I know, I remember Elise putting on Facebook a few, about maybe last year, putting just on Facebook, I have met the most amazing family. If you're not here, you are missing out. That's what happens when God is in relationships. Isn't it amazing? Oh, I love it. I love my King. He's awesome. Number three. Covenant relationships are authentic. Or you can say, covenant relationships are real. Or you can say, in a covenant relationship, it's okay for me to be vulnerable. It's okay for me to be myself. Why? Why is it okay? I'll tell you why. Because if someone looks at you already prophetically and speak into your life what they see, they see in you what is not yet formed. In their eyes, you are mature. In their eyes, you are a world changer. You know what? It's easy to be vulnerable before a friend like that. You know what? You may chat to your friends, but I know you see this in my life, but let me tell you what. I feel so bad about myself. I really don't see, I just need to be honest right now, but I don't see what you are seeing. This week, I don't see that. Will you just pray for me? You know how important that is? That someone can step into you when you are vulnerable and weak and say, I accept what you're feeling, but let's pray about this. Let's work through this. You know how many energy, mental energy, that actually has driven people to depression is used by people to be someone they're not. So many thoughts, so many worries, so many money just to create someone that I'm not. What a waste. The thing is, when you take the mask off and you are yourself, someone can see prophetically into your life and invite you into your destiny. And it's cheaper as well. Amen. Check this out. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. What about sin? I'm talking here about the destiny. What about sin? Let me tell you what sin will get you into trouble. And it will put a bitter taste in your mouth. But sin is not the headlines of a covenant relationship. The headline is God is going somewhere with you. Sin is not the destination. We don't talk about sin the whole time. We are in this relationship because God has got a calling on your life. And so when you fall into sin, we have to deal with it like a stone. We need to get out of the road so that you can journey on. And the sooner you get the stone out of the road, the better, sooner you can journey. The sooner you share with your friend what's really going on in your life, the better. It's important we have to deal with it. But can you see that the love actually covers it? The fact that how I see you means that when you sin, I'm not done with you. My love for you covers the sin. But that does not mean we ignore it. It just means it falls on the fifth page of the paper, not the headlines. Let's deal with it. Because He is doing something in your life. Don't throw it away. Amen? That's where sin fits in. We should not be a sin-focused church. Love covers a multitude of sin. You know that person in small group that may be irritating the what out of you? Maybe in the future, the best small group leader our church will have. Love covers sin. Do you know that person that they're just sucking the life out of you? It's probably maybe the most hungry Christian we've had in our midst for a while. Cover it. Work with it. Give it prophetic vision. See something in their life. Call it out. Invite them into their destiny. So, who of you knows who Sias is? Sias is a pastor in Stellenbosch. Most of us, that is between the 20 and 35 years old pastors, were discipled by him. He gets a lot of students together, and we are messed up. We are junk. And he starts seeing in our lives, raising us up. You are called to do the same. I'm called to do the same. Amen. I'm glad someone looked past the junk in my life. Check this out. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. We're just talking about sins for a moment. This is important. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, this is why this is possible. Firstly, Christ is in the middle of the relationship. I'm not scared to talk with you, and you've given me a platform. Secondly, I know that you back me, that you see a future for me. So it is easier for me to put my sin, my shame on the table. That is called honesty. What happens when you are honest in the presence of God? You invite God's presence to do something. In this case, what is it doing? It's bringing healing. If you want to get healed, if you've messed up, you need to get to that place where you're in a relationship like this and you can put it on the table. Once it's on the table with someone you can trust, don't put the deepest parts of your heart before someone you don't know. Amen? That's not what we say. But if you want to experience God doing a healing in your life that you've never experienced, you put it on the table. You say, listen, I'm just going to drop the mask. This is me. This is what I've been busy with. I cannot stand around this area any longer. You need to help me. The moment you get there, God's presence manifests itself with healing. That's amazing, eh? So most people will say this, if we go to the last slide, or they will at least think in their hearts, the friends we have at work or at rugby or wherever you find yourself, most people that is not in a relationship with God would think at least in their hearts, I want to serve a God who will love me and will take me as I am and care for me. Most people will say, I will serve a God like that. But God is not perceived that way, because the enemy is busy also with people's minds. This thing here comes through our relationship with people. If this person is caring with me and that person loves Jesus, surely Jesus is a caring God. They're not going to read the Bible. They're not going to put a CD on and worship in their rooms. They are not in relationship with God, but they are in relationship with you. So something of God can come through by how they observe you having a relationship and how it flows over to them. It's amazing, eh? God is so awesome. Let's stand up tonight.